You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. In today's sermon, both the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading will be read and covered at this time. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, have you ever made a promise, but you did not actually do what you promised? Well, I'm not asking for a show of hands here, but most of us, probably even all of us, if we really thought about it, we would have to say yes. Sometimes we think that God is like us when it comes to a promise, but God wants us to know that simply is not true. Whatever God has promised, he can do. And why can he? Because he is almighty in power. And whatever God has promised, he must do because he is holy. He cannot lie. Let's always keep those things in mind when we come to the promises of God. Not only can he, but he must. In today's sermon, I believe that God wants to build our faith. He wants us to be very confident. We're going to come to Ahaz, who had no faith. We're going to come to Isaiah, who had great faith. And God wants us to know that there are many benefits in growing our faith and building it up, rather than hanging on to Jesus Christ by a thread. We're going to come today to a couple promises and also a couple fulfillments. Kind of a tough section here in parts, some very familiar, some not so easy, but hopefully we can work through it in a way that is beneficial. First of all, coming to the promises, they're located partway into Isaiah chapter 7 is what we're focusing on today. But first we have to get to what happened earlier on in Isaiah chapter 7 prior to today's Old Testament reading. Earlier in the chapter, both Syria and Israel, they united together against Judah. So we're talking about two nations coming together and saying, let's combine our forces and let's go against this other country. That's really what we have going on here. And the Bible says that Ahaz, who was the king of Judah, he himself and his people were so fearful, the Bible says, they shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Can you imagine someone being so afraid that they're just like shaking like this? I mean, there was great, great fear that came upon him and the people of Judah when they knew, oh, those two countries have come together, and now that's spelling our doom, and we are terrified. That's what was going on there. So the Lord, what did he do? He sent Isaiah to go and tell Ahaz, do not fear. Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? But what did he mean, do not fear? He said, do not fear, because even though it might seem impossible, he was saying the efforts of Israel and Syria, them combining together, them coming after you, their efforts will fail. Hey, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen, is what God is saying here. What's the problem, though? Ahaz did not believe the word of the Lord. Think about us sometimes. There are promises in here that God says we are forgiven through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens with us sometimes? We're like, oh God, I know you said that, but I just don't feel forgiven. What's important is that we put the word of God above our feelings, and that we know that because of what God says, we should know that is true. We should make that application in our lives regardless of how we feel. We come now to a sign, actually a couple signs here, and signs can be powerful. Now, if I told you today that the Cleveland Browns are definitely going to beat the Baltimore Ravens today, if I told you that was going to happen, now some of you are laughing already. However, though, if I said it and then I did something that you thought was completely impossible, if I said, okay, let me give you a sign to prove that what I just said is true, and I did this like impossible thing, then you might say, well, wait a minute now. He said one impossible thing, and we thought that could never happen, but then he did something that we, right here before us, and we thought he couldn't do that, but he did. So because he did that, maybe what he said is in fact true. That's a little bit what we have going on here. So the Lord offered something even far better to Ahaz than anything I could think of. So he did this through Isaiah. So getting to our text now in the Old Testament, picking up in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible says, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, and he did this through Isaiah. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol. In other words, we could say as deep as hell or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. What an amazing offer. The Lord put no restrictions on it at all. As high as heaven, as deep as hell, you ask for whatever, and I'll do it as a sign to prove that what Isaiah said is true, that Israel and Syria, that they will not come against you, that their efforts will fail. What happened? Ahaz was unwilling to ask because Ahaz did not believe in the Lord. So now we come to our two signs. And it's difficult here because they're all kind of packed together. But the first sign will happen after the lifetime of Ahaz. The second sign will happen during the lifetime of Ahaz. When Ahaz sees the first sign, what should he know? Oh, I didn't expect that to happen, but it did. So then he should know, oh, now if I think about this, that means that the second thing, even if I never see it in my lifetime, I know this will happen because with my own eyes, I saw this happen. A lot of that goes on, a lot of that same type of thing we see in the Bible in other places as well. So picking up here now in verse 13, the Bible says, Isaiah said, talking now to Ahaz, he said, hear then, O house of David. Why is he saying, O house of David? Keep in mind that Ahaz, he is a descendant of David, and really, basically, for the most part, all of Judah, they are all connected there, being of the same tribe. So he says, really, to Ahaz, and even to the entire nation, he says, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Did you catch the subtle thing there that Isaiah did? He basically said, God is my God, but God is not your God. So Isaiah stated it plainly, I believe in God. Ahaz, you don't believe in God. And then we see the sign that's going to come now after the lifetime of Ahaz. So that's the sign that's mentioned first. That's the one that we're very familiar with. So in verse 14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you really begin to think about what that says, it is a huge promise. It is a seemingly impossible promise. But yet, what do we need to keep in mind? The Lord always can do it, and the Lord always must do it. For those who believe the words of the Lord and trust in Him, they are saved. But those who hear a promise like that and laugh at the words of the Lord and remain in unbelief, they have doomed themselves. That's the message of the Bible. And then we see the sign during the lifetime of Ahaz. This is a difficult one here, but I think we probably heard it read many times over the years, and oftentimes we just pass over it. But let me see if I can explain it real quick in an understandable way. So coming to verse 15 now, it says, "He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." Who are we talking about here? When you think about verse 14, you would think we're talking about the child referenced in verse 14, but actually we're talking about another child that's going to be born during the lifetime of Ahaz. And then it says, "He shall eat curds and honey." That's pointing to a sign of restoration within the land. And then it talks about when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. We might think of that being at a certain level of maturity. Now, does a child have to get very old in order to know right from wrong? Not really. They know it at a pretty young age, don't they? Now, they might not do it, but I think they know it, though. And then it says, "For before the boy," talking about this boy that's going to be born during the lifetime of Ahaz, "for before the boy knows how to choose the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted." Think about that now. Why is it that Ahaz should be happy? Why should he not fear? What he's thinking is, oh, wait a minute, I'm down here in Judah, Israel, and Syria. They're combining together. They're going to come after me. They're going to overtake me. And yet, what is God saying here? He is saying that before this little boy is very old, God is going to take out Syria and Israel, and he's going to do that with Assyria. Notice the next verse there. "The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." That is confusing, isn't it? What's that all about? Really what it's saying is, it's talking about something that happened 200 years earlier, and when there was only one nation of Israel, and then they split into two, with Israel in the north and Judah in the south. When that happened, that was a time of great difficulty. God is saying a time of great difficulty similar is coming, because I'm going to raise up the Assyrians, who are the world power, and they're going to take out Syria and they're going to take out Israel. Now understand, with the Assyrians, they were the world power and they were very ruthless people. If you want to get an idea how the Assyrians were back then, maybe think what you know about people that we refer to as ISIS. So think about what they were doing a few years ago and what was in the news. That's a good description of the Assyrians. So the world power, ruthless, and what did God do? God used them to take out Syria and Israel, and if they're taken out, there is no threat then to Judah. So God said, "I'm going to do it," and then God, in fact, did do it. He wants us to know that whatever he has promised, no matter how impossible it seems, he will do it. At this time, we're going to have a little break in the sermon as we go back to a couple more stanzas of "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel."
Thank you.
So far in the sermon, we have heard two great promises. We have talked about the fulfillment of one, the one during the lifetime of Ahaz, and now we go on to the fulfillment of the second one, one that we're very familiar with as we jump ahead here to Matthew chapter 1. In the first section here, picking up in verse 18, we see that Mary is pregnant. Kind of a shock. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When Jesus' mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph." What does that mean, betrothed to Joseph? Sometimes we just say she was engaged to him. But it was more than engagement, though. It had a legal binding connection with it. So because they took a legal step here, it was more significant than engagement. But then it says, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph doesn't know anything about the Holy Spirit situation. All he knows is, I am legally bound to this woman. We're supposed to get married. I've never been with her, and she is pregnant. How could he feel about that? Probably not very good at all. However, though, we could say that Joseph was a nice guy. Consider what the Bible goes on to say. And Mary's husband, Joseph, notice the Bible calls Joseph her husband because, not yet married, but because, again, of this legal situation they have with being betrothed. And Mary's husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So they had a legal connection. Now they have to go through a process in order to end that legal connection. They refer to it here as divorce. Now, depending on the circumstances as to how Mary became pregnant, Joseph could have reported her to the community and she could have been stoned to death. Take a look in the Bible there in Deuteronomy chapter 22, and you'll see that that is what is commanded, again, if she became pregnant in a particular way. But like I said, though, Joseph is a nice guy. So what did he say? I'm not going to make a big issue about it. I'm not going to put her to shame. I'm not going to bring her forward to be stoned. But I'm just going to kind of let the whole thing go away quietly. I'm going to be as nice to Mary as I possibly can. Very nice, isn't it? Considering here she is pregnant and he has never been with her. However, though, we have now coming a message from God. The Bible says, "But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So when a so-called virgin is pregnant, who's going to believe that story? It just doesn't fly, does it? However, what we have here is the fulfillment of the great prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7. So God can do anything. He is almighty. And when he makes the promise, he must do it because he is holy. And then we are reminded here of the clear connection between the prophecy and the fulfillment. The Bible says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." So just as God had promised, when the time was right, his son came, he put on human flesh, and he saved us from our sins. And then the Bible tells us that Joseph listened to God. What about us? Do we listen to him? We might hear the words, but maybe sometimes do they go in one ear and out the other? To listen means to hear, to understand, and to make application. Notice what it says here. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So he called his name Jesus. Very significant, because the name Jesus means the Lord saves. That's exactly what he did. He came with the name. He did the work that no one else could do in living the perfect life, in taking our sins, in taking our punishment. And now the name Jesus is above every name because of who he is and what he has done to make us God's holy children. It all happened not because of anything good in us, but because, as we said last Wednesday, God is love. And his love moved him to take great action for us. Coming to our challenge today, on one hand, let's remember we are sinners. On the other hand, let's greatly rejoice that in Christ we are forgiven. And then, really, the challenge is to help someone else know what Christmas is about. So the way to do that is to take one of our Bethlehem cards. There are some extra ones out in the back on the table. And why do I mention the card today? Because the key verse, the only verse on this card, is one I just read right here. So we have Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. So this is the angel talking to Joseph. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So it's real clear, and I even added the words in here so you know what they mean, but it's talking about Mary. What was her role? To give birth to the Son of God. What was the role of Joseph? To give him the name Jesus. What was the role of Jesus? To save his people from their sins. So it's all very, very clear. It's all contained on this one little card. So I can imagine all of us are going to be getting together with somebody between now and Christmas Day. So I urge you to take some cards, hand them to someone, and simply say, notice what the Bible says and how wonderful that is, that God sent his Son, his name is Jesus, and he came to save us from our sins. Just leave it at that. People can think about it, and whatever they do with it, that's in the hands of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming, living, suffering, dying, rising, and ascending. Since you did take away our sins, keep us knowing you and keep using us to make you known. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.